You ready for the word this morning? Okay, say it with me, our favorite Bible verse for our visitors. God gave us this verse to start January of 2013, and he told me to continue it for this year, for 2014, and we have seen literally miracles come out of this scripture. We have had people healed from cancer. We have people's ankles were broken, and God has supernaturally healed the ankle. We have seen deliverances. We have seen all kinds of things come out of this scripture. So it's a very, very, become a very important scripture for us. 2 Corinthians 2:14, say it with me. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. Oh, that's such a good scripture. I literally feel like I have been preaching on this scripture for the last 2 years. Every verse everything I get just seems to go back and relate to this scripture somehow. And I said the other week to someone, I said, just reading the scripture stirs me up. I could just jump off on any given word in that scripture and just preach, and it would be something you haven't heard up to this point. But it's so lively and it's so pertinent to what we're going through, the times of the signs of the times, about the turmoil that we're going through. All these different things, this scripture is so vitally crucial and pertinent to what we're doing. And this morning I want to begin to start a new series as such. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And two things, the Lord brought this back up to me, but we had a word of the Lord. We finished studying it Wednesday night. We spent a month on this word it was a long word between me and Pastor Paul, and God spoke to us. But I want to just bring up the first part of what he said, because this has just resonated on the inside of me so much. Behold, says the Lord, I am blowing my trump. I am sounding the alarm, for it is the time of the ingathering. It is the time when I will gather those who are willing to come to me and listen. Those who hear my voice, those who hear my call to respond, it is a time that I am in gathering in order to establish that which I desired at the very beginning, to walk in the earth among men, to live and to move among my people, those who I have created, those who would be called by my name, those who would separate themselves from the things of the world and dare to be called the sons of God. Just an awesome thing. But the thing that just has all, every time we read that word, every time we go back and look at it, those who hear my voice, those who hear my call to respond. Hearing is so important to the life of a believer. What you set your attention to, what you yield yourself to, that's all part of hearing. Hearing is not just simply listening. It is listening with purpose. It is listening with intent. It is listening for a preconceived end that I'm going to learn the will of God. Now, I want to give you a scripture we're going to be basing this series on, Revelation 2:7. God is speaking to the church at Ephesus, and he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, he says, he that has an ear, let him hear. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, this is a scripture I want you to turn to. We're going to camp out here today and look at this. But Matthew 13, if you would turn there in your scriptures. We're going to look at this scripture from a lot of different ways this morning, but keep your place. Do not lose your place, because we're going to be coming back to this over and over and over again. But Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9, I'm going to start with. Then Jesus spoke many things to them in parables, saying, now a parable is a story. It's a word picture, a picture that is depicting an image or representation of the kingdom of God. He says, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is so crucial. To set ourselves to hear the things of God. Years ago in my first church, I had preached a sermon, and God has a way of bringing things back to me that I preach, and I don't always appreciate that. But I made the comment in the message. I said, you can get anything out of any preacher if you will listen. Well, we were, sometime after that, Debbie and I were planning to go on vacation. We were going to miss a Sunday morning service, and they had a guest speaker in. I didn't know who he was, but some people in the church knew him. They said, he's really good. We enjoy him. Let's have him in. He's ministered here before I became the pastor. I said, that's fine. So as the events occurred, we didn't get away for that weekend. And Debbie and I Saturday were talking about where are we going to go to church on Sunday, because pastors on vacation don't normally go to their home church. So where are we going to go? And Debbie and I, we talked about we could go to this pastor's friend's church, we go over there to that church, we go here. And then we looked at each other, and both of us about the same time said, let's do something really unique. Let's go to our church. And let's just sit in the congregation like everybody else and just forget that we're pastor. Let's just go and sit and just be a part of the congregation. We thought that'd be real interesting. So we got to church. Everybody was surprised to see us. And we just sat in the congregation. I didn't sit up as front, near to the front as I usually do. So we sat toward the middle to the back. And we sang the hymns that we sang at the time and did stuff. When it came time for the preacher to get up, he was low key. He had a monotone voice, and it didn't vary very much. And you had to really pay attention. And I'm starting to drift. That's why I talk loud sometimes, so that you don't drift, you know, to get your attention. And I'm beginning to drift. My eyes are getting a little bit heavy, and I'm drifting. And the Lord brought back, you said you could get something out of anybody's sermon. I thought, I did say that, didn't I? He says, are you going to sleep, or are you going to get something out of this? See, I was listening, but not with a purpose. Understand? I'm listening, but I'm not really paying attention. I'm hearing the words, but nothing is resonating on the inside. And he was hard to listen to. I really had to force myself to listen to him. And so while he's preaching, and I'm now being attentive, and I'm trying to take notes, although there's nothing noteworthy taken. But he made a phrase, and I couldn't even tell you what the phrase was that he said. But he had a phrase in there, and the Spirit of the Lord took that phrase and he began to reveal things to me, and he revealed to me Paul's preaching plan. And if you want to study the letters of Paul, you can see this preaching plan in every letter that he wrote. There is hope, there is faith, and there is love. And if you diagram his letters, looking at those three things, he's always laying out the hope that's before us, always laying out the possibilities, always laying out the potential, always getting us to dream at a little bit higher level than what we're at right now, always pushing us to go a little bit further, see a little bit further, begin to listen to a little bit more. And then there's faith. You've got to start having faith in the hope. And Paul will always talk about faith. And then in his letters, he always ends up talking about the love. The love of God, the love of one another that we need to have for each other. And so the whole preaching plan laid out because I listened with attention. I began to listen with purpose. It's amazing to me how many people hear but don't hear. It's amazing to me how I'm preaching to however many people there are here this morning, and every one of you will hear a different sermon. Some of you will like it. Some of you will get a revelation. Some of you will get an understanding. And others will go, oh, I've heard that before, or not hear anything at all. It'll just bump off of you, just like the seed sown on the wayside, the seed sown in the stony ground, the seed sown in the thorny ground. Or you can determine if you want to be good ground and receive what's being shared. But the key is that you've got to hear it. Not just listen, not just get mesmerized with the words, but you've got to pay attention and hear what the Spirit is saying. Because God will take my words and he'll either bless you or thump you. One or the other. Either you will get so charged up, or if you're not in the right position, he'll thump you with it. My mother used to thump me. I remember the first time I sat with a girl at a church camp and in campfire, and her and I were talking, and all of a sudden someone came up behind me and just thumped the back of my head. And I turned around, I was about maybe 11, I think, and I turned around and there was my mom just staring me down. I thought, well, I guess she's allowed to get by with it. So I didn't do anything. I didn't talk anymore at campfire. But anyway, sometimes if you're not in the right position, God will thump you. And you say, that pastor's talking about me. Well, yes and no. Maybe it's the Spirit talking to you. You know, sometimes when I preach, I walk on my toes. Because it's listening to what the Spirit has to say. Amen? Okay, let's keep reading in Matthew 13. He says in verse 10, and the disciples came and said to Jesus, why do you speak to them, notice, to them in parables? And Jesus answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. What an interesting phrase. It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Did you know God can give you ears to hear? God can give you the ability to hear things that others don't hear. He can give you the ability to see things that others don't see. But he goes on, he says in verse 12, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Now, I don't know about you, but early in my Christian walk, I came across Mark 4, which is the same parable. And I read Mark 4, and the disciples there asked Jesus, explain to us the parable, because they didn't get it. And Jesus says to them, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand anything about the kingdom of heaven? And I'm thinking, because I'm getting ready to go to seminary, and I'm thinking, I don't understand this. Have you ever read scripture like that? Where it says, if you don't understand this, you're not getting anything. And you're thinking, I'm a believer. I know I'm going to heaven. I trust in the Lord, but I don't get this. I just don't understand it. Don't hold up your hands. But it's like I was in that spot. I don't get this, Lord. I don't understand this parable. I don't understand about the seed, the word, sowing, the stony, the hard ground, the thorns. I just didn't get it at all. But Jesus says here in Matthew, and this is why I picked Matthew out, it has been given to you to know the kingdom of God, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now there's a curious phrase here, because this is a question. What distinguishes the disciples from the rest of the crowd? Jesus is making a separation. He says, to you has been given the ability to understand, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but not to them. So what is the distinction? Because obviously the disciples didn't get it either, but Jesus said they had ears to hear. Now why do they have ears to hear, even though they don't understand it, and the others don't understand anything at all, and they don't understand enough to even ask the right question? One of my favorite pastors that I grew up with, it was very influential in our life. I had him come and speak in our first church also. And he gave his normal message, evangelistic, really exciting. You know, he told all kinds of stories and everything during it. And afterwards, everybody, because I was just kind of appalled, or not appalled, I was just kind of stunned how little scripture he had. And we asked several people after church, and they said, man, that was really, really good. This is a week later. That was a really good message. We enjoyed him so much. I said, wonderful. I said, what did he say? They kind of looked at each other. I don't really know, but it was good, whatever it was. And I know some of you, tomorrow morning, you won't know what this message is about. No matter how good I preach, no matter how good the anointing is, some of you won't. It's, what did he talk about? I know it was good. I felt like God was nudging me. I thought he was saying something to me, but gosh, I can't remember anything about it at all. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him meditate on it. Let him go over these things. Let him spend time in the Word of God. Hearing is not a one-time event. It's a pattern. It's a consistency to develop in our life to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. So I want to give you, let's look at 12. He says, "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." Whoever has. Now, what did the disciples have that the others didn't? They had ears to hear. Jesus says that in 11, "It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom." And 12, "Whoever has, to him more will be given." See, if you have ears that you desire to hear, that you want to hear, you have a heart that I want to understand these things, God will give you more. He will add to you with what you already have because you're already paying attention. But if your attitude is, I don't care, you won't pay attention. And so even what you hear will be taken away from you because you didn't purpose to hear to start with. Does that make sense? So the disciples, even though they didn't understand at the moment, they had enough desire and enough interest. Lord, teach us these things because we don't get it. Well, it's a progression of faith, isn't it? What we know now, God can add to. But if we stop listening, if we stop hearing, even what we have will be taken away from us. And you can see that in the lives of many Christians. Even what they have, at one time they were robust, at one time they were excited, at one time they were laying hands on people and the anointing of God flowed through them. And you meet them several years later and their life is a wreck and a ruin because they lost the ability to hear from God because they got self-righteous, self-confident, and they refused to hear God. So even what they had was taken from them. I want to give you two contrasting scriptures. Now, keep your place here in Matthew 13. But Ezekiel chapter 12, the first two verses, it's real interesting. These are two contrasting scriptures. In Ezekiel 12, it says, "Now the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see but does not see, and ears to hear but does not hear, for they are a rebellious house." Twice in there, he says, they have eyes, they have ears. In other words, they have the ability to discern the things of God, but they don't have any discernment. Why? Because they live in a rebellious house. They actually are a rebellious house. Ezekiel was just living there. They are the rebellious house. Now the word rebellion is interesting. I'm going to give you some big words on this. But the word rebellion, and these are things that will keep you from hearing what the Spirit is saying. They keep you from hearing. You can hear and listen, but you don't get it. You don't pursue it to seek understanding. So this is what the word rebellious means. In Hebrew, it's mara. It means, first of all, to be contentious. That means just, you know what contentious is. You've had kids that have been contentious, and no matter what you tell them, no matter how much you explain it to them, no matter how patient you are with them, they're not going to pay any attention to you at all. The other word, and here's the first of the two big words, refractory. That's not my word. That's a word that Strong's uses here. But refractory. Refractory, I love this. It means to be stubborn, to be unmanageable, with an accusative attitude. It's to be stubborn and unmanageable. Now, there's been times that we've all been that way, haven't we? Stubborn, unmanageable. But the attitude is, how dare you do that to me? You know, it's not my issue, it's your issue. You're the problem here. And it's like, they're not even bothering to look at themselves. It's with an attitude. You know, there's people that are stubborn, but if you push a little bit, they'll go along with you. They may grumble, but they'll go along and they'll do what needs to be done. But there's other people, they'll do it, but bless God, I'm going to sow some bad seed here, and I'm going to talk about people, and blah, 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 how dare they do that. And they do the work, but it's with an attitude. You don't need those kinds of people. Amen? You don't need those kinds of people. Why? Because they always bring division into the house. Why? Because they're rebellious. And we produce after ourselves. So if you're rebellious, you produce rebellious people. That doesn't get a lot of amens, but it's true. Your kids take on your characteristics. Okay, let's move on. Some of them good, some of them bad, but we usually notice all the bad ones. We pray for the good ones that God, you said, my house will be saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's go on. It also means to provoke. Just sticking a stick in things. Just stirring things up. Just provoking. I want to start. We had a person years ago came to church. Said, I just like to say things to people to see how they react. And he would tell things that other people said that they didn't say. And he'd do it just to provoke things, just to stir things up. He liked to play games with people. And that's not a good game to play. The final word, and this is another big word, contumacy. I don't know if I'm saying that right or not, but it's C-U-N-T-U-M-A-C-Y. And it means a stubborn refusal to submit to authority. This is rebellion. I'm just not going to do it. It's more than I'm going to do it my way. It's just I'm not going to do it your way. I'm not going to work with anybody. I'm not going to help anybody. I'm not going to be that helpmate. I'm not going to be that person you can depend on or count on. I'm not going to be that person that when you need someone to lean on, that I'll be there, because I'm not there because it's all about me. It's rebellion. And he says here, these people that are like this have eyes to see but don't see. They have ears to hear but they don't hear. Now, obviously, this closes their eyes and their ears. Because the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? We've just finished a series on confession. And confession literally means in the scriptures to agree with God. So what I'm going to confess, I'm going to agree with God. Regardless of my circumstances, regardless of what I'm going through, regardless of what the future likes, my confession is I'm going to agree with God. God says he always causes me to triumph. I'm going to agree with him. Well, what about, but the word says. But what about, but the word says. But what about, the word says, he always causes us to triumph. I'm going to agree with God. I'm just going to set my heart. I'm not going to be rebellious. I'm not going to be stubborn. Well, that's what the word says, but I don't really believe that's going to work for me. I'm not going to go there. See, we are to be conformed into the image of Christ. Can you see Jesus? Well, Father, I know I have to go to the cross and die for this, but Lord, I don't want to go. I'm not going to do this. No, sir, no. I'll do it, but I'm just going to be stubborn about it. I'll do it, but only because I have to. Do you notice about Jesus? When he was baptized, before Jesus did anything, before he was tempted on the mountain, before anything, God, when he sends the Spirit on Jesus, says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And Jesus hadn't done anything. God was pleased. What did Jesus do that pleased the Father? He was submissive. How many times did Jesus say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done? I only speak the things I hear from my Father. I only do the things I see my Father doing. Well, that's unity, isn't it? Lord, I'm going to agree with you. I love the scriptures when it says that Jesus endured the contradiction of sinners. The contradiction of sinners is, Lord, I love you, but I'm going to do it my own way. See, that's a contradiction. It means we're really not in agreement with God. Lord, I love your body, but Lord, I'm not going to go to church. I've got a gift that I could really help a lot of people, but I'm not doing it till they ask me. Boy, it's quiet in this here church. See, those are when you develop those attitudes, you don't hear from God because you're too busy listening to yourself. He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying, not what you want to say. You ever have a conversation and when the person opens their mouth, you're already thinking about how you're going to respond? You're not listening. Hello, you're not paying attention because you already have it mapped out in your mind what they need to know from you rather than what they need to hear from the Spirit of God. Okay, what's the contrasting scripture? Go to Psalm 40, Don't lose your place in Matthew 13. Psalm 40, verses 6 and 7. Sacrifice, this is David. This is a psalm of David. He says, sacrifice an offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Isn't that curious? My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Isn't that awesome? David says, my ears you have opened. Now just a real brief history lesson. His ears were open. David had a revelation. It's not about the sacrifice you bring to God. It's not about how many bulls you bring. It's not how much blood has been spilled. It's not, we're not saved by our works. Sacrifice, you can sacrifice all you want to, but if your heart isn't for God, it doesn't mean anything. It just costs you something. If you're thinking about the cost of it, we had a young man years ago who said, I want to go in the ministry. What do I need to do? I said, well, you need to go to school. He says, I don't want to go to school. I said, well, you need to go to school because there's things that you need to learn. There's some things you need to unlearn, because when I went through cemetery, whatever, they ripped me apart, and I had to find out that my basis was God and the scripture and not what my professors were telling me. And I had a real struggle with that, and it took me about 2 years to work through that to where I got my head screwed back on right. Sometimes you've got to go through that. You've got to have everything tested that you think you believe to find out what you really do believe and why you believe it. That's why I say that so often. You need to know what you believe and why you believe it, because it doesn't do any good to say to a demonic spirit, I adjure you by the Christ whom Paul preaches. You've got to know in yourself it is the will of God. Now, this young man, he decided not to go to school. He said, oh, I don't want to leave home. I don't want to have to study. So that would be 3 or 4 years and I'm not ready to do that. Well, actually, it would be longer, because some Bible schools you can get into out of high school, but a lot of them you need a college education to even get into those schools. He didn't want to pay the price. He didn't want to go through all the mess. I just ought to preach. Well, I don't have anything against that. I know some people have never been to school at all for ministry, and they know the Word of God inside and out, and because they know the author of the book. They know Him. But a lot of us, we need to sit under the feet of people and get some rebellion out of our lives. Amen? He says, sacrifice and offering. This is a revelation. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. I understand this, Lord. Now, why were David's ears open? He said, burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. He said, then I said, behold, I come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. His ears were open because he delighted to do the will of God. He didn't grumble. He didn't growl. He delighted. He was the one to say, and I wish all of you would say this on Sunday morning, I rejoice when they said, let us go to church today. I would love it if you would all say that and say, well, it's Sunday. We got to go to church. It's like, well, my goodness, you're already not going to hear. You might as well stay home and mow grass, because you're not going to get anything out of it anyway. Hello. Say, Gordon, be nice. I am. It's like, David had his ears open because he was willing, because he wanted to know who God was. Now, it's interesting here, the word for open, oh, I love this. The word, he says, my ears you have opened. Strong's Concordance, the very first definition is to dig, to excavate, or to dig through. He says, my ears you have dug open. My ears, you've gotten the dirt out of my ears. The very thing that keeps me from hearing from you, Lord, that rebellion, all that other stuff, that you've dug it out of my heart, Lord. I've gotten rid of those things. I've cleansed, and now you, because I have sought after you, you have opened my ears. You've dug through everything. The second definition is to give a banquet or a feast. The third is to get by trade. But all of them say, there's something that's being given to me. There's something that's going on here that it's you open them, you dug through. Now, I like this one out of Wilson's. Wilson's Old Testament Word Studies, it implies the willing and pledged obedience of the Messiah in his body. It's messianic. It's about the future. This is the attitude that Jesus had. My will is to do your will, O God. See, it's that submission, it's that yielding to, it's that willingness to work, to do what God wants him to do rather than just do it his own way. And that was the temptation on the mount. Jesus, do this, turn the stones into bread, jump off the mountaintop, do this, do that, throw yourself off of a cliff, do all the, and Jesus, no, God's not telling me to do those. Now, if God would have said to Jesus to do that, do you think he would have obeyed? Yeah. But he knew it wasn't the Spirit of God. See, he knew his Father. He knew his voice. David is basically saying, because I have delighted to do your will, you have placed in your law, your Torah, within my heart, and I understand that Yahweh does not require animal sacrifice and offerings. He wants a willing heart. He wants a heart that is yielded to him. Go to Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verses 3 through 5. David again wrote, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. I'll add verse 6. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. See, if you will seek the face of God, he's saying, I'll give you blessing. If you go, Jesus said it this way, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. But if you're seeking the things, you'll miss God. And so even if you get the things, they'll only be temporary. They'll only last for a short burst of your life rather than bringing you on to a higher level. And so many of us were seeking the things instead of the kingdom. Instead of the will of God, we're saying, Lord, I want to do this, but I want to do it my way. And God says, you can't do it. Get these things your way. Because your way is the way of death. Your way is the way of the world. Your way is, because that's all you know. Because until you hear God, you only hear the world. Until that voice of God can break through, until your ears have been dug out, you're only going to hear the world. And it screams so loud. It has so much fear in it. If you don't hear the voice of God, that fear is going to overtake you and drag you into the mire from which it came. He has blessings for us. Psalm 51:10, David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Only Yahweh can create a clean heart. All I can do is give it to God. All I can do is say, Lord, here I am. That's what I did when I got born again, when God convinced me that I wasn't a Christian, even though I'd been raised in church, even though I had been baptized, even though I had done all the proper things according to the church. But God convinced me, you're not a Christian. And all I could say was, Lord, I don't even know what to do. But Lord, I believe in you. Come into my heart. And he made my heart clean. I can't clean up my heart. I didn't know what was in it. I was used to it. It was normal for me. And God began to show me a new heart. And oh, it really scared me when he says, I'm taking away the stony heart and giving you a heart of flesh because, oh, I didn't want to be hurt. Fleshy heart is one that's easily touched with the infirmities of another. I thought, Lord, I don't want that heart. Man, I've been hurt most of my life. I've been wounded most of my life. I want that strong heart. I want that stony heart. I don't want anybody to ever hurt me again. He said, I want to remove that heart. Boy, that was scary. Because I didn't want that other heart. But then I found out that same heart of flesh is easily touched by God. Easily moved by the spiritual things of God. Easily touched. Not to take on the infirmities of people, but to take on the love of God to loose people from their infirmities. If I'm not willing to consecrate myself to God, to Yahweh, why would I listen if he would speak to me? Why would I pay any attention if this God, who I'm rebellious to, would speak to me? If I'm not willing to obey him, why would he talk? Why would he say things to us? In Matthew, go back to Matthew 13. Oh, I want to touch on this and get into this. Matthew 13, verse 11. He says, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. It's been given to you. You know, the disciples left their jobs. They left their families. They dropped everything to follow after Jesus. People say, well, does that mean I have to sell my house? No, listen. The disciples left everything. They still owned the business. They still owned the ships. But they were willing to give that up and let others supervise it and let others maintain it so that they could be with Jesus. The only person that Jesus said you've got to sell everything you have and follow me is the man who placed his trust in riches. See, but God wants us to be poor, because the Beatitudes said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Well, I believe that what that's talking about is those who know that I'm poor without God. But when God comes in, he was made poor so that I could be made rich. So the bounty, the abundance, the overflow of God is what I live in, not the poverty that men want to put on me. There's something in that if you listen to it. Go to Luke 5. I'll close with this, honestly. We'll pick up here next week. But Luke chapter 5. This is so good. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. So it was, as a multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. So they had left the boats. The boats were in the water, but the men were on shore cleaning their nets. And then Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Now, we're not told how long he taught, but he taught them. Evidently, there was some time that Jesus spent preaching with the fishermen on shore, listening to what he has to say. Verse 4, when Jesus had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Boy, there's rebellion right there. I tell you, he's just cutting his throat off, isn't it? No. See, Peter is stubborn. Peter is opinionated. Peter is a strong man. He's used to telling others what to do. Fishing is over. It's net cleaning time. We've got to clean nets. Jesus is making a request of Peter, and Peter's got to be thinking what you and I would think. Are you nuts? Do you think that might have passed through Peter's mind about Jesus? You're nuts. You fish at night. The fish don't, they're not there. But listen to what he says. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. He had heard. Even though they were mending the nets, they had heard what Jesus has preached. And we haven't heard anything that Jesus preached at that particular time. But he heard what Jesus preached. He said, at your word, I'll do it. But I still think you're nuts. You know, you can be obedient and not know why. You can listen and you can be in the will of God and not know the plan of God. Isn't that wonderful? It's like a donkey can prophesy. You know, it's just like, hey, if a donkey can prophesy, I can walk in the will of God and not know it. Amen. God can be directing my path, but I don't know it. So Peter says, nevertheless, I think you're nuts, but nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. I'll go ahead and do this. Now look at starting in verse 6. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. That's a catch. Now, the first time, the net's almost ready to break. They called in another boat. Now both boats are sinking. What would you do? Dump the fish. But he didn't. Because Jesus didn't call him out there to sink his boats. He brought him out there to show what can happen if you will listen and hear and obey the word of God. So I'll give you a harvest that's so big, it's bigger than what you guys can contain in the natural. But I'll limit it to the natural, what your boats, the maximum that your boats. Remember Malachi? I will pour out of my spirit and open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that will overflow your containers. When Peter, verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. See, John and James were there. Now, here's a picture I'd never seen before until I started looking at this. Peter falls down at Jesus' feet. "Lord, depart me from me, for I'm a sinner." And while he's down there, James and John are down there too. There's an awesome experience of God here. We don't know what's going on. Jesus, we're not, leave us because we're sinful people. There's something here greater than themselves, and they're acknowledging it. Now, if you continue, we don't really have Jesus' response. But it says, Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid." That's his response. "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." What Jesus said, don't be afraid. In other words, this isn't the kind of reverential worship that I want. This isn't the fear. This is not the, I don't want you to depart from me. I want you to come with me. So often when God begins to move in our lives, we respond the way they did. "Oh, Lord, I'm not worthy. Lord, I can't do this." And God wants you to know, yes, you can, because I'm with you. I'll bring you along. I don't want you to bow in fear and ask me to go away. I want you to come with me. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. He's relating to them where they are. Now, what was their response in verse 11? "So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." They were willing to give it up because what they had found, the pearl of great price, they had found the treasure in the field, and they were willing to abandon everything to get that pearl, to have that treasure. See, Jesus had shown Peter a parable. Was Peter rebellious? He protested, but he yielded to Jesus' will. See, Jesus is digging, isn't he? He's digging. How are you going to respond, Peter? He's digging and digging and digging and digging. Peter's got ears to hear, but he doesn't understand yet. And Jesus is digging. "Peter, will you follow me? Will you launch out in the deep after you've heard a little bit? Are you willing to go the next step?" And when he did that, and they're amazed at what God did, amazed at what happened to them out there on the water when there were no fish. It wasn't the right time. Nothing was right, but they had caught nothing all night, and here they're about ready to lose two boats with the catch that they have. Jesus keeps on digging. Don't be afraid. He's digging. Are you willing to give up their fear to follow Jesus? But what am I going to do if I follow Jesus? Are you willing to let go of the fear? Are you willing to just say, "Jesus, I trust you. I trust you to show me the next step. I trust you to take me one more way down the road. I trust you for every step. I trust you for every instance. I trust you for everything, God. I'm going to follow you." Are you willing to do that? Or will you cower in your fear and do nothing and continue to live where you're at because you're afraid that God might ask you to do something that would cost you something? See, if you're looking at the cost, you're not hearing God. Peter could have looked at the cost and said, "Lord, the cost is too great. I don't want to have to clean these nets a second time." But when you get the blessing of the Lord, "I'll hire somebody to clean the nets. I can get somebody else to do that. I'm not going to worry about cleaning the nets, not if I get a catch." The only time you grumble about cleaning nets is when you don't have anything. When the nets are empty, that's when you growl, that's when you complain. And most people's lives are empty, and they're still complaining. God says, "Launch out in the deep. Will you hear? Will you hear enough to go the extra step? Will you hear enough to follow after me? Will you move out of your fear and follow me?" Jesus wanted to know if Peter was pliable. Are you willing? That's his question. I'll close with this thought. Still the same closing. The first test to become a leader, can you be trusted with what doesn't belong to you? And Jesus is calling us into something. He's calling you into something today. And he says, will you trust me in what doesn't belong to you? Can I trust you with my gifting? Can I trust you with my calling? Can I trust you with my ministry? Can I trust you with something that you don't own? Are you willing to yield yourself to serve someone other than yourself? Will you trust God? That's the question. Will you trust God? Will you yield your heart to him? Let's stand. Praise you, Father. If you're here today and you don't know what the next step is, maybe you're not even born again. Maybe you say, I generally believe in God. I accept that God exists, and I do believe that he's real, but I haven't really given my life to him. Notice I didn't say, have you asked him in your heart? Have you given your life to him? Have you given yourself to the Lord? If you'd like to do that today, God's got a great journey ahead of you. He's got an opportunity of a lifetime. Ears to hear. Do you hear? Are you willing to give your life to Christ today? If you are, well, I want you to lift up your hand. I want you to just say, Lord, I'm willing to give my life. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else? I'm going to ask Greg and Jason to come forward. We're just going to pray with you guys real quick. Praise you, God. Praise you, Father. We thank you, God. We praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Glad for you guys. You got courage because you're both in hard spots. But we're going to trust God to get you out. Amen. I want that net to be filled, and I want the other boat to call into where there's going to be so much blessing. Lord, help get me some other people to help in this thing, because there's just going to be blessing coming your way. But it starts with trusting God, letting him into your heart. I'm going to ask everybody in here to pray this with me, but you guys pray it too. Pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, that you died with all my sins, and you are raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Jesus, I accept you in my heart. I give my life to you. From this day forward, it's no longer my life. It's your life. And you do with it as you please. I know and I trust that you only have goodness for me. That you will not let harm come against me. So I yield my life to you, knowing you have a harvest for me. I thank you, Father, that I'm born again. I ask you, fill me with your Spirit, that I could hear you more clearly. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you, Jason. Greg, God bless you. God bless you. Teresa, God bless you. God bless you, man. Hallelujah. It's a great day. Amen. It's a great day. It's a great day in the kingdom of God. It's a great day in the mercies. Now, we're going to release you, but 6 o'clock tonight, service starts. Our team's going to be leading praise and worship, so you don't want to miss that. Amen. So we're going to open up, and we're going to have a good time tonight. So I invite you back to just experience more of our loving God. Amen. 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 Father, we thank you for all that's happened today. God, we pray, God, for ears to hear and eyes to see. Father, we pray that even as we seek after you, God, you will add to us. You will help us to clearly hear and clearly see the things that you have prepared for us from the foundation of the world. And God, we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for your work in us, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.